Hi, thank you for joining us today, and welcome to the very first installment of an exciting new podcast we are calling NBAD Insights. This program will provide you with an opportunity to get current views on markets, investment opportunities, and basic investment concepts from NBAD's leading experts. I am Michael Miller, NBAD's Head of Investor, Media, and Public Relations.
And I'm Nathalie Gillet, the editor of NBAD's Marketing and Communications team.
And we are broadcasting to you directly from NBAD's headquarters in downtown Abu Dhabi. We are very excited about this new podcast, and we hope you'll enjoy it. In today's first segment, I will speak with our in-house markets expert, Mohammed Yasin. During the conversation, we cover topics including the recent third quarter earnings, oil prices, recent events in Saudi Arabia, as well as the upcoming U.S. elections and potential Fed actions later this year.
And during the second part of the show, we will also go into the nitty-gritty of investing in bonds. During a more educational section, we chose to call Back to Basics with Alan Marcus.
We are joined today by Mohammed Yasin, head of NBAD Securities. Mohammed is one of, if not the leading expert in markets in the region, and we are pleased to have him here today. Thank you so much for joining us, Mohammed, and for being our first ever guest on NBAD Insights.
Thank you very much for inviting me, Michael.
Mohammed, you are a regular market commentator on both local and international television and radio programs. For those members of our audience who have not seen or heard your many appearances, could you give us a brief description of your role at NBAD?
I head NBAD Securities, which is the brokerage arm of NBAD. We give access to our clients to the ADX, DFM, and NASDAQ Dubai. And we also extend our coverage for our clients who would like to trade in the MENA region, basically.
Clearly, this role provides you with a unique perspective. We are fresh off of third quarter reporting season, a period in which companies dealt with ongoing challenges in the overall environment. In your view, how did companies in and around the UAE perform versus expectations? And what was investor reaction to the results?
Q3 results came within expectations for most companies. Some companies who surprised, unfortunately, on the downside. The banking sector was a bit weaker than some people expected because of higher impairments. And I think that the slowdown in growth that we've seen affecting the GDP and the UAE economy started to reflect a bit on their revenues. On the good side, we saw banks like FGB report 31% growth in Q3 compared to the same period last year, benefiting from real estate gains on real estate, while we saw banks like Emirates NBD and DIB surprise a bit on the downside based on what we saw on the first half of 2016. We still have things like Amar and Adar to come. And I think those are important indicators for the real estate sector in the UAE. And for the telecoms, which is the third major sector in the UAE, the Salat and Du reported, and they were a bit weaker than expected. And that's why we saw negative effects on their share price in the market during the last few sessions in the market.
So performance was relatively in line with expectations, with some surprises on the upside and several on the downside as well. Now that we have just come off of the first month of the fourth quarter, could you provide a summary of how companies performed in October?
I think market performance in October was actually surprised us on the downside too. We saw traded values to be continue to be weak, even weaker than September, which is not what we expect usually. Because when investors come back in this time of the year, we try usually benefit from good results. We see higher traded values. We didn't see that. In terms of an index movement also, we saw DFM was one of the worst performing in the MENA region with a drop of over 4% in the index. And year to date, we have the DFM now trading about 6% up, while the ADX is trading just around 0 to negative 0.5%. So overall, in terms of equity markets, performance was not great in October, and I think that the results did not provide the positive catalyst that we were hoping for to change that direction that has been going on for the past, I would say, maybe about 4 months.
Given the challenges you just highlighted for performance in the third quarter and the month of October, what will it take for momentum to shift? In summary, what should we expect for the remainder of the year?
I think the fourth quarter for now, from what we see, November started to be better in terms of traded value. But we see that today the effects of some of the international uncertainties coming from outside markets affecting the sentiment. Starting, I think, on all markets, we're talking about things like the U.S. elections, and we see today that there is a kind of sell-off that started in the bond markets internationally, followed by drops in the equity markets in the U.S. and Europe, and even now emerging markets is going through some correction also following from that. So I think at the moment now what we see is those kind of negative effects, in addition to the oil price movement, which looks like it's a bit on a retreat for the past now about six, seven sessions, all of these are putting some selling pressures on our market. However, these we believe will not continue till year end, and we hope that once these uncertainties are removed, maybe in a week or two, we could see some kind of a relief rally that may come and help us all, especially that we have the yields of many of our companies in the UAE are very positive. They could be in the range from 4 to 7% in some cases, and that could be a positive catalyst for some to come in and start to build some investment positions once the uncertainties affecting their sentiment are removed later on.
Great, thank you. And you mentioned the decline in oil prices. OPEC is back in the news again. And the big question, of course, is whether or not there will be cooperation on the new agreement and whether each country will comply with reduction in supply. Prices were down in October. So what do you expect regarding the deal? And where do you expect oil prices to go moving forward?
I think the fundamentals for oil supply and demand has not changed much in the last few weeks. However, the price movements, really the volatility, really shows you as if there has a huge change. And that gives me indication that a lot of the price movement of oil these days is capital markets related. So it is sentiment related. And therefore, the agreement today, whether it happens or not, which is probably everybody's waiting for the meeting in mid-November, end of November, to have some kind of clarity, I think is important in terms of maybe giving a positive catalyst for the price to move up. However, without that, we probably will be trading towards the lower range of the oil price, which is probably in the range of, for Brent, is in the range of 46 to 51, 52. If we can maintain these kind of levels till year end, that means we could have an average of about $45 for the year. And that is an acceptable base, I think, for all parties concerned, because everybody expects 2017 to be a higher price than that.
Speaking of oil, the world's largest supplier of oil, the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, recently issued a $17.5 billion bond, which marks the largest emerging market sovereign bond issuance in history. Could you please comment on the significance of this issuance for both Saudi Arabia and the region?
I think for Saudi, it was extremely important because it was a vote of confidence by the international community that they believe that the kind of structural changes that Saudi economy is going through are reaping rewards, and they could be then they are in the right direction. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been participating in the bond. The fact also that this happened at this time, in a time where we're just talking about maybe some of the uncertainties are high, also says that the confidence people are looking for good yields. The pricing of those bonds was very attractive and lower on the lower band of what was expected, which is good for Saudi. And I think also what we see, the reflection of that, we've seen that immediately on the pricing of the SIBOR, which is the Saudi IBOR, which has dropped from record prices of around 2.45% to now in the range of about 2.35%, which means that the liquidity in the banking sector has improved since that. And hopefully these kind of improvements, among other things, with other things that the Saudi government is doing, could hopefully stabilize the kind of the pressures on the liquidity in the Saudi market, which means that this could have a positive effect on the sentiment in the Saudi market, and therefore will probably overflow to our markets at a later stage.
So positive sentiment in Saudi should be good for the region overall. Now, taking a step back, if we look at the bigger picture, we've spoken today about the U.S. elections, which are right around the corner, the upcoming OPEC meeting in November, and, of course, the Fed will decide once again whether to raise rates before the end of the year. Given all of this as a backdrop, where do you believe investors are focusing today? And where do you think investors will be focused for the remainder of 2016?
I think once we get the U.S. elections out of the way, I think we really will start to focus internally on companies' performances. There are two ways of looking at them. There are shares and companies that have appreciated in price. They don't distribute good dividend, but the capital appreciation has been excellent. And we see a lot of activity on those shares. So we see the GFHs, we see the Ishraqs, the Shu'as. So these are the smaller stocks, not the blue chips, but where we have certain investors focusing liquidity on them on the short term. Those have performed very well for the year. So I think that will continue. What we are hoping for is also the heavier investor base, the international investors, the high net worth individuals, will start to look again into investing into the blue chips, which have a very good yield story. So when we talk about companies giving anywhere from 4 to 7% yield in the, between now and maybe March latest, I think those are excellent yields compared especially to interest rates or even to bond yields that we see in the market. And I think those could become positive catalysts for attracting liquidity into our markets. Gradual, but I think in the right place, and I think with the right balance. Because what we've noticed in the past few months is more of that speculative liquidity is what's been driving the market rather than the long-term investor liquidity, which we want to give stability to our markets.
Long-term investor liquidity would certainly drive stability in the markets. And I think that's a great way to end today's conversation. Mohammed, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today. As always, you provided great insights, and we look forward to speaking with you next time.
Thank you very much for inviting me, Michael.
Once again, you're listening to NBAD Insights Podcast, and we are recording from our headquarters here in downtown Abu Dhabi. So now we're ready for the Back to Basics segment of the podcast, and I will now turn it over to Natalie, my co-host, who will present this section and our second guest.
Thank you, Michael. Back to Basics is the part of a show where we take the time to explain concepts or investment rules to our listeners. And for this first edition, we've chosen to speak about bonds and fixed income. Bonds are an asset class that does not necessarily come first to people's minds when they think of investing. And yet we've seen a flurry of bond issuances over the past weeks and months in the region, in the UAE, in Qatar, and of course more recently in Saudi Arabia. So we thought this would be a nice opportunity to take a closer look at this market. Joining us in the studio, Alan Marcus, who's running NBAD's investment strategy for global asset management. Alan, you came all the way from Dubai this morning. We're very happy and lucky to have you here with us. How are you doing?
Fine. Thank you, Natalie. Yes. A long journey down the Sheikh Zayed Road.
Thank you. Alan, there is a lot of information out there in the media about equities. Companies' share prices going up and down. Individual investors are easily exposed to the equity market. So can you give us more insight into the bond market? And for our listeners who may not be familiar with it, what exactly is a bond to begin with?
Well, the market is quite vast. There's a whole range of instruments investors can choose from, bond markets being one of them. Traditionally, issuers have been governments. Governments have tapped the bond market to raise finance for projects, infrastructure projects, bridges, buildings, and things like that. And then it's sort of moved on to the corporate sector, where companies have also found raising finance through the bond market is an alternative to loan financing directly from banks. Investors act as the lenders. So in the same way that you have banks lending to institutions, you can now have private individuals and investors who take up bonds as a whole. Bonds themselves offer an interest, or what we call a coupon, unlike shares or the equity markets, which pay a dividend, which is based on the company's fortunes. Fixed income is the term used because you're paid a fixed amount of interest or a fixed amount of profit rate in the case of Islamic bonds. And there are, of course, various types in the market.
Various types indeed, and some bonds were created to meet the needs of specific groups of investors. There are green bonds for environmentally aware investors. You've mentioned Islamic bonds, also called sukuk, issued in various countries. And by the way, in what currency are bonds usually issued?
Most people around the world tend to favor the US dollar. It comes in all kinds of currencies. We've got a local currency market, an international currency market. The US dollar primarily is the main currency of issuance, the US dollar, of course, being the world's reserve currency.
Thank you. It sounds all very interesting, but at the same time, it feels like bonds are something more for institutions, fund managers, very, very rich individuals. What's the reality? Can anyone invest in bonds, or is this market restricted to certain groups?
In the same way as stock markets, pretty much anyone can go into bonds. The only caveat being that bonds tend to have minimum sizes of around $100,000. But increasingly, as time has gone by, people have found this a more interesting way, an alternative to the stock market, and issuance has grown as a result. It generally suits more priority banking type clients, meaning investors with a net worth of a million dirhams or more, whereas the man in the street who has perhaps just a couple of thousand dirhams can also get access to these markets by buying and selling bond funds. Bond funds are effectively a pool of investments that a number of players can enter into, and it gives the same kind of exposure to a single line that the larger players may look to access.
So if I'm an individual investor with a certain amount of money, what's the procedure? Where do I need to go? For equities, I would naturally think of stock exchanges. How does it work with bonds?
Yeah, so the man in the street who has a couple of thousand dirhams is able to access the stock market very easily. He can just go down the road, contact his local broker, his local high street bank. Bond markets are slightly different. The stock market trades on exchanges. The bond market is over-the-counter, or what we call OTC. Bonds, because they're over-the-counter, tend to have a market that's created by brokers. And every bank around the world has some exposure to the bond market. They have issuances that they have, and they also bring issuers to the market. So in essence, you can approach your bank, and he can set the relationship up for you, whether it be at priority banking level or at the private bank level for the retail investor.
So now I know what to do, where to go. But what about the risk level of bonds compared to equities?
Well, like stock markets, bond markets have varying degrees of risk. This affects the level of interest payment that one can earn. The higher the risk, the higher the payment, commonly referred to as the risk reward. Once a bond's been issued, it trades at prices that can move up as well as down, just like stock markets do, obviously controlled by supply and demand, as well as the fortunes of the particular company. When the bond comes to maturity, the date on which the investor has to have his money returned, this is the moment that the issuer will pay back the initial price for the bond, known as par value or the face value of the bond. Because it's fixed income, bonds are generally considered a safer asset class than stocks and shares. But within the risk profiles, you have anything from promissory notes, commonly known as debentures. These are the least risky forms of borrowing, known as secured debt, where the borrower will pledge assets to give the lender more comfort. But the most commonly form of issuance is known as the unsecured bond market, where the issuer has the ability to repay the borrowing and the lender needs to assess how risky the issuer is. Of course, as you go down the curve to high yield bonds or subordinated bonds, this is where you have a corporate borrower who perhaps is not well known in the market, unsecured lending, and of course the coupon being paid or the fixed interest is much higher than you would have for, say, a government bond issued by the UAE, for example.
Now, let's say I've done all my homework, my research on issuers, countries of issuance, and with the help of a personal finance advisor or a broker, I have now invested in a bond or in a bond fund. My next question will be, when can I expect the first payment and how do I get paid? I guess being fixed income, it should be quite predictable, right?
Yeah, very interesting question. Bonds are paid semi-annually, so if you buy a bond on day 100 of the year, you buy that accrued with 100 days of interest when you make the purchase. Very different to stocks and equities. In equities, you will buy the stock and get paid the dividend at the time that the dividend is issued. So there's no advantage to buy it before or afterwards. You have to wait the whole year. With bonds, you are paid the coupon at the time of the day count, as well as the underlying principal that you need to be paid.
Thank you so much, Alan. Now we have a much better understanding of the bond market. We've learned the main differences between bonds and equities. We know where to go, the risk levels and the payment terms. It was a real pleasure to listen to you, and we hope to see you again on the show next month for another topic of Back to Basics. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me on.
And that's it for this edition of NBAD Insights. We hope you've enjoyed it. Please join us next month when Mohammed once again provides a fresh look at the markets and we host another Back to Basics segment. Thank you.
And if you're interested in more of our views on the market, please come and check nbad.com/insights. This is the place where NBAD's experts share their views. It's updated every day. You will see Alan's weekly investment view, as well as videos, analysis, reports from our global markets team. So please come and take a look at it. Once again, nbad.com/insights.
And if you have a question or just want to give us your feedback on the show, please feel free to connect with us. The show is for you, the audience. We welcome and encourage feedback as it will help us shape future episodes to better meet your needs. Thank you very much for listening. Please join us next month for episode number 2. Thank you.
This podcast was recorded on the 3rd of November 2016. All the price references and market forecast correspond to the date of recording. This podcast should not be copied, distributed, published, or reproduced in whole or in part. The information contained in this podcast is not to be considered as an offer or recommendation to buy or sell any financial instrument or banking services. The views expressed in this podcast have been presented without regard to the individual financial circumstances and objectives of persons who receive it. Neither MBAD nor MBADS or any representatives guarantee the accuracy or completeness of the information contained in this podcast. And any liability, including in respect direct or indirect or consequential loss or damage, is expressly disclaimed. The securities and products mentioned in this podcast may not be suitable for all investors. The appropriateness of a partnership, investment, or strategy will depend on an investor's individual circumstances and objectives. Many factors may affect the value of a financial instrument. Investors shall therefore conduct their own analysis of the risks, including any legal, regulatory, tax, or other consequence, and benefits associated with a transaction in a given financial instrument, and should seek independent professional advice. NBAD is licensed by the Central Bank of the UAE. MBADS is a subsidiary of National Bank of Abu Dhabi, PJSC, and is licensed by the Securities and Commodities Authority, registration number 604002.